Josh back for the One Another project on the 26th of August. May I ask you to state your name, age, and where you're from, please?
My name's Jeff Davis. I'm 50 years old, and I'm from Ebwy Vale in South Wales.
And how are you feeling today?
Nervous, apprehensive, excited. Looking forward to it.
What are you hoping to do on the plinth?
I'm going to dress up as a Welsh bard to promote the Nationalised Eddford of Wales, which is a celebration of Welsh language and culture, music and poetry and literature, which is coming to Ebwy Vale next year for the first time in 50 years.
And what's prompted you to do this up
there? I've been involved with fundraising for this Eddford previously. All my children have been to Welsh medium education and have taken part in Eddfords throughout their life. I'm not a Welsh speaker myself, but I wish to promote the use of the Welsh language. And I think I come from a traditionally English-speaking part of Wales, so anything we can do that can promote the use of the Welsh language in our area will be beneficial. And I also think it's visually quite fun as well. Dress up in a bed sheet.
So where in Wales did you grow up and where are you living now?
I grew up in Ebwy Vale and I still live in Ebwy Vale. Except for a few years when I was in university, I spent my whole life living there, just moved around the area a small way.
And you've got a family, you mentioned your children.
Yeah, I'm married with three children. The oldest is 13, the youngest is 16, and the two youngest are here with me today to support me by giving out leaflets and Welsh cakes to the crowd.
So have you come down especially for this event?
Yeah, we came to London yesterday, stayed overnight, and once the event is over, we're hoping to go on holiday and fly off to Washington, D.C.
And what are you hoping to do in Washington?
We've booked loads of things before we go, so we can do a sort of political tour. We've booked for the Capitol building, the Pentagon, Washington Monument. I'm a big fan of baseball, so we're going to Baltimore to watch the Baltimore Orioles play baseball as well.
Do you enjoy traveling?
Recently, for the first 45 years of my life, I never went anywhere other than Lyme Regis, my holidays. But recently we've started sort of traveling the world, and last year we went to Borneo and went up the jungle, stayed with a sort of tribe up there and visited the orangutans, and that was great.
So what brought about this traveling urge?
Partly the kids were bigger, partly we had more money so we could afford to sort of travel the world better. I just felt I was getting older and needed to do a bit more stuff, really, which was part of the sort of motivation for applying for this as well.
How does that relate to the rest of your life, your attitudes?
I've always been a bit sort of, I don't know what word is, sort of anti-authoritarian, anti-establishment, I guess. I've been a sort of vegetarian all my life. I live in the South Wales valleys where life is quite traditional and values are quite traditional, so I've tended to stick out a bit there. I've stood for elections for the Green Party in the local council and stuff like that, so I suppose it sort of ties in with that. We live on a sort of fairly modern housing estate where I've got a polytunnel and we keep chickens for our own sort of produce and that. So I've sort of always tended to have sort of slightly different attitudes to most people around us.
Where do you feel that those attitudes stem from? You mentioned that you've had them all your life.
Yes, it's very difficult to know where they came from because my parents were never like that. I'm an only child as well, so I never sort of picked it up from any sort of other members of my family, really. But I can always remember being like it ever since I was in school. And quite like taking sort of contrary positions to other people, I guess, as well. So it's a bit of a mystery to me. I've thought about it, but I'm not sure where they came from.
And how do other people react to that, family and friends growing up?
They've just got used to it now. They're just sort of harmless, eccentric, I guess, around the place. Same in work and same with people I bother with out to work as well.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a forensic mental health social worker, so I work in a mental health team, but I work with people who have mental health problems who have committed serious offences. So it could be murderers, arsonists, rapists, paedophiles, those sort of people who might present some sort of risk to the public. I do risk assessments on people and manage their care when they'd been released from hospital.
And how did you get into that kind of work?
I've always been interested in sort of issues around mental health and sort of madness and how it relates to sort of everyday society, really. Issues of sort of madness and creativity, but also issues around sort of stigma and discrimination against people with mental health problems and the fear it engenders in the public. How everyone seems to think it's just because someone's got a mental health problem, they're automatically dangerous to other people. So that was another aspect of my sort of politics as well, I suppose. It was about sort of trying to empower people who were discriminated against in society.
How successful have you been in your local region? Do you feel in changing people's attitudes?
I don't think attitudes have changed a great deal, unfortunately. Over the past sort of 30 years, I've been working in the area 30 years, and if something happens, it still makes sort of headlines in the paper. I mean, the number of murders committed by people with mental health problems has gone down over the past few years, but you would never know that from reading the papers. There's still sort of issues of hysteria if anything ever happens, and there's always, I mean, we look after thousands of people in the community and nothing ever happens, but if something does, there's always a failure of sort of community care. There's always mass hysteria in the media. So I don't think attitudes have changed greatly, really, sadly.
How do you feel the area of South Wales generally has changed or not?
I mean, it's changed a great deal over the past 30 years. I mean, the area I come from was predominantly a mining community, and almost everyone in my family were miners over sort of many generations, but the mines have closed. There's not a single colliery left in South Wales now. The last one, which was sort of privately owned, closed down sort of fairly recently. Ebervale, at one time, just after the war, had the biggest steelworks in Europe, that employed thousands of people. That's just closed down completely and has been completely demolished. So the valleys are much greener, but in terms of sort of economics and employment, it's a very different place. Everybody, when they left school, was guaranteed a job in one of the industries, were guaranteed an apprenticeship, and they were good wages and good terms and conditions of work. Now we have a few factories that pay poor wages and have poor conditions. So even if you're lucky to get a job, it's not a very good job or a secure job. And they have demolished the steelworks and they're hoping to regenerate it. They've just built a new hospital there, or they're building a new hospital, which will be a base for our team when it's finished. And the Eisteddfod is going to be based on that site. So I'm hoping that the National Eisteddfod will form part of the regeneration of the area as well.
You mentioned your kids. How have the changes affected them?
Well, Daniel, my oldest, has had to leave. He lives in Portsmouth to find work. And Laurie, the middle one, is in university at the moment. And I very much doubt that she'll be coming back to the area to work. My youngest boy is still in school at the moment, but he has plans to move as well. But they're all Welsh speakers, so it gives them sort of opportunities within Wales as well for finding employment. It's quite useful at the moment to be a Welsh speaker.
You mentioned that you don't actually speak Welsh yourself.
No. I've tried on many occasions. I've had many years of lessons, but I'm incredibly poor at learning languages. I was poor in school, and I've been poor all my life. So I can understand some Welsh, but I'm poor at speaking it. But I wanted to pass it on, really, to my children. So they, although they were English speaking, they went to school at the age of four and were taught entirely through the medium of Welsh. They were never allowed to use English in school. And now the three of them are completely fluent.
What other importance would you say it has in their life besides the ability to get work?
I mean, there's the old cultural sort of baggage that goes with the Welsh language, which it links in with the Eisteddfod, really. There's a lot of emphasis in Wales on culture, on poetry, on music and literature. I'm not sure if there's a sort of event anywhere else in Europe similar to the Eisteddfod where people compete for prizes in poetry and literature and music and dance. And through their schooling, it formed a key part. There was a lot of sort of out-of-school activities based around those issues, and I think it gives them a sort of firmer understanding of being Welsh as well, I think, the Welsh language, which I sort of feel I've missed out on, because lots of the Welsh-speaking parts of Wales don't really consider our area to be Welsh at all.
Why is that?
Because it's predominantly an English-speaking area, because it was a mining area, we had a lot of immigrants come in for work, so they brought the English language in with them, and Welsh was actively discriminated against. Children could be punished in school for actually speaking Welsh 100 years ago, so it was, you know, it was deliberately driven out of our area, really. So some of the more Welsh-speaking parts don't really consider us to be that Welsh.
So bringing you back to what you're actually doing on the plinth, what are your hopes for going up there?
Well, I hope to sort of invite some interest in Wales. It'll be a small part of Wales in London for an hour at least, so I'm going to dress up in the Bardic robes, which is the people who organise the Eisteddfod are known as sort of bards, and they're given that award for contributions to Welsh culture and Welsh life. So I'm going to dress up as one of them. We've got leaflets. I'm going to play some Welsh music and poetry. We'll be giving out Welsh cakes, which are sort of traditional Welsh snacks baked to my mother's sort of secret traditional recipe. So hopefully we'll just attract a bit of interest. I am being sponsored as well, because local communities who host the Eisteddfod have to raise £300,000 themselves towards the cost. It costs sort of like something like 20 million to put the Eisteddfod on, but we have to make a small contribution to that. So I'm trying to raise some money for that as well.
How are you hoping to do that?
It's through sponsorship. That's the main thing we've done. So we're just raising money through work and friends and acquaintances. This attracted quite a lot of interest in South Wales, so BBC Wales and BBC Radio here as well to sort of interview and cover it. So hopefully it's a mixture of sort of fundraising and publicity for the event.
And when is it planned for?
It's the end of July next year it takes place. It's planned a year in advance. It's a travelling event that moves around Wales from north to south on alternative years. It is a big event.
So is it your first involvement with it?
No, I've been involved with the Eisteddfod, like I say, through their kids in school. So there's a junior one as well for children, a national Eisteddfod for children as well, and we've been quite involved in that, and the children have won prizes in that as well. So it's the first time I've been involved in fundraising and publicising the national Eisteddfod, because it's the first time it's come to our area. Since the year I was born, in fact.
So how did you hear about the plinth?
I've heard about the sort of the artwork on the plinth over a number of years. So I think it was through the media that I heard about sort of Andy Gormley's proposal to fill it with members of the public. So I watched it a long time before it was open to people to play. And as soon as it was sort of open, I put my name forward.
And how did you feel when you were selected?
Surprised, because my wife had already been offered a place and was unable to attend, so I wasn't expecting there to be another opportunity within the family. So I was surprised and excited, a bit worried about what I would do, because I didn't have the idea about the Eisteddfod at the time. That sort of came later. So we did have a bit of thought about what we would do while I was up there. But yeah, it was a shock.
And how have you been feeling since you actually found out?
Excited. And looking forward to it in some ways, but it's such a sort of novel experience and so different to what you're used to in your everyday life. It was hard to get too worried about it because I didn't know what to expect. But I'm quite nervous now.
What do you expect?
I don't know. I mean, I'm hoping because of the time of day it's taking place that the crowd will be reasonably sympathetic and supportive and interested. And we'll find, you know, visually they'll find it there. It's sort of relatively interesting, I hope, and people might be intrigued by what it's about. So I'm hoping for a sort of fairly positive response from the people in the crowd, and maybe giving out free cakes will help make them a bit more positive.
And who have you got supporting you?
I've got my wife and my two youngest children have come up with me to help manage the crowds.
Who or what would you say are the important things in your life?
And my family is very important. My work is quite important. Sort of travelling, just a general sort of lifestyle. I'd say I like growing my own stuff. We like, you know, we keep a few animals. It sort of grounds you, keeps you in touch with the seasons and things. I think that's quite important.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
I don't think so.
Very well. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.